Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're real happy to have our good friend Tim Clower from Community Kitchen with us this morning. Hey, Tim, how's it going? Hey,
good morning. It's going well. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what Community Kitchen does.
So for many years, beginning in 1983, we provided an emergency meal service for anyone, no questions asked. So we do that still from Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Well, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. we serve. We're here from 8 a.m. till about 6 p.m. In addition to that, for the past decade or so, we've put a little bit of a focus on child nutrition and at-risk kids. So we have several programs that work to kind of curb the risk of hunger and kids in the community. So we do, we provide the Head Start lunches for Head Start programs throughout Bloomington. We do a Backpack Buddies program, which provides a bag of food to kids through their social worker at school each week. We do about 400 of those a week.
Wow.
We do after school snacks and meals for kids that attend the Boys and Girls Club, both locations in Bloomington and the Rise. And then we also have a summer program where we go out and serve meals to kids, serve lunches. So our idea is that, you know, if we're going to move from just being a band-aid and help kind of cure the big picture, it starts with kids and making sure they have the nutrition they need to reach their potential.
And that sounds like a lot of meals.
Yeah, it is. You know, we're at over 200,000 meals a year. During the pandemic, because some of the kids programs closed for a little while or scaled down things, just keeping their attendance lower and that type of thing, working with pods of kids, it amounted to about 60% of the meals that we provided. Typically, it's a little bit higher, but a lot of people don't. When they think of Community Kitchen, they know about our emergency meal service and the dinner, which is, you know, always been kind of the primary thing, but a lot of people don't realize what we're doing with at-risk kids, and also seniors, who are the second group that's probably most at risk of being hungry.
And I would imagine too, with the children's meals, it sounds, you mentioned nutrition. So are there certain things that you try to incorporate in the meals to make them healthier?
Yeah, we follow both the Head Start program and our after school and summer programs are USDA supported. So the USDA works through the Department of Education, similar to what some of the free and reduced lunch programs are at schools. These programs provide us some reimbursement. Of course, in order to get that, we have to follow all of the same nutritional guidelines that the schools do. In our case, especially with the Head Start meals, there are a lot of special diets and nutritional things that we need to incorporate. So a lot of that food for those programs, and because we get reimbursed, we purchase a lot of those food items. We try to, I like to call it nudge, you know, kids into trying some different things, things that are better for them nutritionally that they may not have had the opportunity to try. I think that's really, kids get a bad rap for, you know, not liking foods, but they're often the opposite in that they're more willing, especially if they see other kids eat it, to try different things. And they're not, you know, as cynical as we adults may be about things we like or don't like. I do like turnips now. I did not like them as a kid. I think it probably still takes a special child to love turnips from the get-go. But yeah, we follow those nutritional guidelines. We kind of add a little bit of a push ourselves to kick things up a notch and make things as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody dares you to eat a Brussels sprout, you'll do it, huh?
I would do it. Yeah, I've that one in particular, because they're one of my wife's favorites, I've had to like just let go of.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you finding too with the kids, you know, having not a lot of them not been in school for a while and not been in programs, now that things are reestablished, that I bet you the kids are relieved to have access to the snacks again. They're probably excited.
Yeah, I go and monitor some of the programs during the meal service as one of the requirements. And it's also for me an enjoyable practice because mm-hmm. I get to see the end of, you know, mm-hmm. result. That's one of the nice things about being in a smaller town and being comparatively to like Indianapolis, you know, more oversight in our programs directly. So I get that direct feedback. Now it's, you know, not always the things I want to hear, like, you know, if kids don't like a particular thing, Brussels sprouts, for example, or whatever. But there's also kids that do. And so it's good to see the reaction and see how those things go. And I think it seems that kids are excited to be around their peers again. And, you know, especially the boys and girls clubs, when they get there, you know, right off of the school bus, there's a lot of energy, you know, and it's just, it's neat to see them, you know, getting back into those routines and also getting access mm-hmm. to that good food.
Absolutely. And I would imagine, too, if they try foods like that, they probably get shared with the family. And, you know, you have never had a turnip and now you get to experience that. Yeah. Maybe that's something they'll add to their menu.
Yeah. And that's through the backpack program. Since kids take that food home on Fridays, generally, we provide the bags on Thursday afternoon. The kids take them home on Fridays. We often incorporate a local food item, albeit like butternut squash or, you know, other vegetables, root vegetables, things with recipes that their family can try and incorporate. You know, I think it's a little more enticing for a parent maybe to make a dish if a kid mm-hmm. is curious about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully that's a little bit again of a nudge to like try something mm-hmm. different.
Sure. Now, recently it sounds like you got some new wheels.
Oh, yeah. We did. We extended our fleet. it's funny because I flash back to when I first started at Community Kitchen, and we had, and a lot of people may remember seeing this van. It was an old Ford Econoline mm-hmm. van. The logo on the side had worn off to the point where someone had filled it in with a Sharpie. you know, we've came a long way since then. So mm-hmm. we have a couple smaller vans, but we just purchased a food truck, a little different than your typical food truck, and that this one is solely for serving food. Mm-hmm. So we won't be preparing food on it. So it doesn't mm-hmm. have a stove or a hood or, you know, mm-hmm. some of the other things you would use to prepare mm-hmm. food. But as we expanded a year ago, it's been almost a year, into a site in Ellettsville. One of the things, as we started to look at potential places where there was a need for our meals, that, you know, people had difficulty getting into town and to our mm-hmm. locations. And Ellettsville, while it's a small at-risk population, there's still a good amount of people that are kind of right on that edge, you know, mm-hmm. that maybe at the end of the month when bills are due and mm-hmm. that type of thing, they could use that boost of mm-hmm. food. But still, once you get out into that area around Bloomington, which I consider, I call it semi-rural, because it's you still kind of feel like you're in town and around people, but you, it's really easiest to use your car to get somewhere or to get anything. While there's like Ellettsville has a lot of paths and sidewalks, you know, walking down that main thoroughfare through town isn't the easiest thing to do, especially if you cross it and so forth.
Sure.
So when we looked at the idea of potentially purchasing a building or a property, we really hesitated. We looked at some things, and you're really kind of putting all of your eggs in one basket, and it's a big investment. And so that's where the food truck idea came, because it basically is like our Ellettsville or our location on West 11th Street, except it's on wheels. I mean, it's got everything we need there. We can, like we do for those other satellite sites, we prepare all the food here at our main location, and then we're able to just transport it, keep it warm, serve it. And then there's other potentials that came out of that. We can incorporate it into our summer program for kids, where we serve lunches. So we've always been limited by providing bagged lunches, which limits us to, of course, temperature controlled things. Like we can't provide pancakes or warm dishes or anything. Whereas with the food truck, we'll be able to do that. So I'm excited about incorporating that next summer into our route for kids. It also adds, and not that I think you're the typical folks, I would guess, that go to food trucks aren't, you know, it's not people that are at risk of hunger that are thinking, oh, let's go eat at the food truck. I mean, I think it's an exciting thing for people in general. I think having one that's available to everybody, not that the food trucks that are out there aren't available to everybody, but being able to incorporate that into our programs, especially for kids, I picture them being more excited to go out and get food from a food truck like they see other people do, as opposed to just the bearded guy in the van with bags of lunch. So that's, you know, and then also we haven't really, other than the logo on our vans, we haven't really advertised or marketed what we do. We get a lot, majority of our support from just individuals in the community, and a lot of people know us, but I think to put ourselves out there, you know, it's a beautiful truck. It's got fruits and vegetables all over it, and it says food for all. And I think people will see that. You never know, indirectly be inspired to support us in some way, or volunteer, or, you know, the food truck, like all of our food programs, our dinner program is open to anybody. So, you know, there's nothing to sign or fill out, or, you know, you just come and get food if you need it. So it'll be nice to be able to have the flexibility to go where we're needed. A lot of the folks we serve, even though they may have a home, they're still fairly transient. They move homes fairly often because of challenges, you know.
And we've seen too with the pandemic, talking to some of the housing service agencies, people they see more people staying with friends, like you said, and moving from place to place, and some people losing leases and things like that. That makes some sense. You mentioned volunteers. So you're a nonprofit, of course, and volunteers are very important. Are there opportunities for people to volunteer right now?
Oh, is that back always open again? You know, since we made it through the pandemic and had a period of time where we had filled those spots with staff in order to support our staff, and also just the risk early on of not having volunteers. But we've incorporated them back, and we have the same volunteer shifts, 11:30 to 1:30 and 3:30 to 6:30 available Monday through Saturday. Folks can, it's very light prep or serving of food. Mm-hmm. If you've ever cooked in your kitchen at home, which most have, you can handle mm-hmm. anything that you would do here. The shifts are, you know, the best way is to contact June, our volunteer coordinator, mm-hmm. At 812-332-0999. And she can tell you what current spots we have open. Folks can come in for a one-time shift, or they can sign up for once a week or once a month. You know, we have different groups, from church groups to neighborhood groups, families that come on a regular basis. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a good atmosphere and a good culture, I think, mm-hmm. staff wise and volunteer wise, because it's driven by what we do, and which is a positive thing. So, mm-hmm. yeah, anyone can really fit in and play a role in helping us get the food out there.
So they should harness their inner food network and give June a call.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we see a lot of, the whole gamut. Probably about a quarter of our volunteers are IU students, whether it's through a class or just on their own. And then, of course, all the way to, you know, 10 to 13 with their parent, or 14 and above. And then a lot of retirees, seniors that, mm-hmm. you know, want to stay active and doing things, mm-hmm. and they find a nice home here with other like-minded folks. And, you know, we've had pretty good fortune to get so much support, and, you know, it literally goes without saying that we couldn't do what we do without, mm-hmm. without that help each day.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't believe that. Now, you'd mentioned too, you know, food types and food donations. So are there any particular items that you need now? And I know we're not quite into the fall holiday season yet, but that'll be coming up soon too. But what sort of items are helpful? And talk a little bit about how people can do that and where to bring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's kind of two avenues of food type. One that I'll mention first is for the Backpack Buddies program I talked about. And those are food items that kind of supplement a family's food over the weekend. So simple, easy to prepare, either pasta or rice type dishes, you know, those suddenly salads or mac and cheese or that type of thing, those packaged items. Protein, canned tuna or chicken or the pouch type. Soups, you know, hearty soups or things like Chef Boyardee, things that are meal in a can type of deal. And then also cereals, granola bars, you know, some types of healthier snack items, fruit snacks, that type of thing. We do provide some fresh fruit each week. We add to those bags or vegetables, those items are always helpful. And then for our general just dinner meals, really any canned fruits or vegetables are always nice to get, as well as tomato products, whether it's diced tomatoes or tomato paste, and then some other just random things, broths, mm-hmm. chicken broth or beef broth to add to mm-hmm. dishes. And if you think about, you know, when we're cooking, we do what I like to call hearty American fare, you know, just a lot of extenders, you know, we're making, you know, food to feed, you know, 300 to 400 people a day. But our staff is also very keen at making some really delicious items with things that we get. Yesterday's perfect example, I was serving at one of our locations and our staff person made strata, which is a And I actually had to Google it because I was like, I know I've heard that, but it's a casserole. It's a bread and egg and cheese and spices casserole. Sometimes there's a protein added, but we had gotten a bunch of bread from Panera and it's like a sourdough bread. And he made stock with that. We also got a lot of fresh local eggs donated from a couple families. So that stuff all kind of comes together. But the spices and and other things that you can use, you know, just to make that type of fare. If you think of doing those dishes that people often like to make at home and doing that for a massive amount of people, you know, it takes a stocked pantry. So there's not too much that we turn away as far.
Yeah, I was going to say that's fabulous. Yeah. So then too, if people have donations like that, just bring them to your location during your business hours.
Yeah. Our main location at 1515 South Rogers. Like I mentioned earlier, we're here from 8 a.m. until 6. If you come around to the behind the building, the back door, there's a doorbell people can ring. We'll, you know, a staff person will come out and help them with their donation. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a massive amount. You know, I think oftentimes, even if you just have something, your diet changes or just clean out the cupboards at some point, you know, as long as it's within date and unopened, you know, we can utilize it.
That's great. And you mentioned too, with shopping, I'm imagining grocery gift cards are probably appreciated as well.
Yeah, those are good. There are often cases where we're putting a meal together and we're missing that one ingredient. While I think our staff are pretty savvy at coming up with alternatives, you know, sometimes it's nice to be able to go out and get a particular thing that we need. And that may be something that we really do need, like salad dressing or something like that. We serve salad each day and, you know, we can whip up the oil and vinegar type of thing, but it's not provide something a little different for folks, you know, so those gift cards come in handy for sure.
Excellent. Now, of course, you know, the United Way launched its fundraising campaign, and I know you're a United Way partner organization. And so if people are at workplaces, they can donate that way. If people want to donate directly, then also should they contact your organization, go on your website? What's a good way to do that?
People can donate on our website directly to the agency. If they want to do that via credit card, they can also mail donations to us at P.O. Box 3286. That's Bloomington 47402-3286. And we'll be happy to get that and put it to use. We do kind of automatically send out receipts for those donations for tax credit for folks if they want.
Wonderful. Well, that's all very exciting. So when will the food truck be out on the street? I know you probably have to get it ready.
Yeah, this week we're hoping to wind up with the inspections. Basically, right now it's at a mechanic. We had to have, even though it's a brand new truck, just get everything certified by a mechanic. And then we've got the Board of Health is going to be following up with their inspection. And then the city, of course, for even though we'll be starting out in Ellettsville, at some point we'll be somewhere on the perimeter of Bloomington. So we want to be able to adhere to all those groups and make sure that everything is safe and ready to go. So hopefully as early as next week, we might be able to begin using it.
Oh, service. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that. Thank you again for all the wonderful things that you do for the children and families in the community who are in need of food. And we hope that you go into and have a good fall season.
Oh, thank you, Denise. I feel fortunate to be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Tim. Yeah, and this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.